Hi, my name is Janelle Engelstad, and welcome to the MAP Radio Hour, a Make Art with Purpose podcast. The MAP Radio Hour includes conversations with creatives, scientists, and other people addressing the intersection of cultural, political, and environmental concerns. You can find out more about MAP and our projects at makeartwithpurpose.net. Radio Hour series of podcasts produced in conjunction with the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall continues with a conversation with writer and musician Pavla Jansanova. Pavla has been a member of several Czech rock bands, including Plyn and Zubinete. Our conversation took place on the campus of Anglo-American University in Prague, where Pavla is a senior lecturer in the School of Humanities and Social Sciences. So last time we met 10 years ago, for me, it feels like there's so much has changed, but it felt like the touching socialism was a little closer back then than now. It does feel more distant.
Yes, 30 years away from communism is much better. And also, it's like so many books are coming out, and the more we know about the past regime in which I grew up, in which I was a teenager, the more I hate it, and the more I think how terrible it was and unfair, and all the secret police and people telling on each other. There is, for example, a book about visual arts, and that basically in the 60s there were all these, like, the performance and action art and happening and the conceptual art and so on. And the secret police didn't understand it, so they had to get the theorists and critique to get to be secret agents for them to explain how this Western art is dangerous. So, like, Karel Srb Jr. spoke with Milan Knížák about conceptual art, like, these people could go to jail for it, you know. It's just so terrible that somebody would tell the secret police that. It's totally disgusting. Now it seems like, they're so clever, they speak about conceptual art. But no, back then, really, the state socialist police tried to protect the culture from everything from the West and just have the socialist realism, like, to build communism. And it's really hard to imagine how.
Yeah, it is hard to imagine. But do you think there's still lingering impact of it, though, in society? Or do you think it's pretty much
very much gone? So, because all the best heroes were hired to the secret police services, and people that we loved and admired, it turns out that they were secret agents, and they were denouncing everyone else in the community, and so they're discredited, and they don't want to speak about it, and it's a huge problem. These people are in their 70s, 80s. There's this animosity and impossibility to discuss things openly, and nobody really knows how to deal with it. Like, our prime minister is a former secret agent, and he shouldn't be, like, in high politics.
Right.
And yet, nobody understands how it's possible that he can have this high function and so on.
Do you think it's some people are looking for a return to the past, or some people are just forgetting?
I think the good thing is that the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia, for the first time this year, they dropped under the 5% which you need to have to get into parliament, yeah. And because before that they were like 16-20%, like a lot, so it's good that they're not popular anymore. But then the votes went to another horrible populist party, which is new. It's a populist party, ANO, meaning yes, it will be better. That's their slogan, and it's a populist party, and people in Prague, the intellectuals, hate them because they're populists, and then people in the country vote for them, so they're the ruling party.
Right. So let's go back just for a minute to talk about, I mean, that time when you were growing up, because something happened with you and you formed this underground punk rock band, all female, which is the first one in the Czech Republic, right? That was an all-female band?
I think there was a country band called Schovanky. Before that, they were on TV, they were professional musicians, conservatoire trained, but we were part of this kind of punk DIY, like that we were amateurs who weren't like professionally trained musicians, who just were friends who had funny ideas and who just loved meeting together and playing with these ideas. So that was the difference.
Right, but you were having to play underground, is that right? Or,
well,
this was the 80s, right?
There is a huge terminological battle over the term underground. And we were not underground, we were what was called alternative scene. The underground was like a generation older people who became underground after the invasion of the Warsaw Pact in 68. And bands like the Plastic People of the Universe and DG307 and many others. So they just kept playing really in the underground. They were persecuted. There was a trial in 76 and they were put to jail. And then the whole underground was dispersed in the early 80s, and many of them were forced to leave the country as unwanted people. And then the new wave punk explosion happened, like with completely young people who had their ideas and who wanted to play and played different music than the underground played, I think.
Right.
So I belong to the alternative scene.
And who was kind of your influences then? I mean, what was getting across from the West that you were listening to?
So, of course, a huge question, because there was the Iron Curtain, nothing was coming through, the radio was scrambled, there was no chance to hear the Western broadcasts, only maybe if you went to the West border, so then you could pick something up. But people still had some relatives who sent them records, or they smuggled it somehow in, and then there was this black exchange that you saw in the museum.
Yeah.
And yeah, I went there, and for 500 crowns I bought John Lennon Imagine, and then the next I recorded it on a reel, and then next week I came to and bought King Crimson, and the week after I bought Pink Floyd, and I was just exchanging the records.
So recording them and then taking them back and exchanging. So for 500 crowns, you made an investment that kept paying off.
Yes,
that was right.
That was great. Yeah, it was of course horrible, and of course people would kind of lend these tapes and record from one another. And so on, but that was the idea of the dissidents, that you should make a parallel culture, second culture, that was the hugest crime against the young people, that there was no information of what was happening in the West, and no communication, no concerts, no records, no books, and that people were told they should start their own bands, their own magazines, their own theater, and literary journals, and that's what happened.
Right. Then the wall comes down and everything like changes radically.
Exactly. So much euphoria. Like I still cannot believe it that it happened, because we thought that this is forever. And because there were all these signs, like with Soviet Union forever and never in any other way. We thought, oh no.
Yeah.
And and then it was gone, and the borders opened, and we could travel. I was just at this festival for plus 4 days in motion, and there was a quote by Winston Churchill that capitalism has the big fault that it distributes unequally the wealth in the society, and that socialism has the great advantage that it distributes equally the poverty.
Yeah,
I think that's
true.
very telling. It really took until 97 till Crown was convertible. So basically when we traveled in the early 90s, so like Czech people had to pack food with them because they even if they had Czech money, they could not convert it.
Right. Yeah, I remember that euphoria. I was living in New York, and I grew up in the Cold War too. And I mean, it was like, this is the tension that held us in place on both sides of the wall. There was like this structure and this tension. And I never imagined, and none of us really, I think, imagined that it would end, this kind of black and white. And there was propaganda on both sides, you know, of the wall. And then all of a sudden this happens. And it was the big kind of controlling fear too of the day. And it opens up, and it felt like a whole new world was born.
Like the end of history. Now will be liberal democracy is the best.
Yeah.
And everyone will live in that. And
right.
That's
And
perfect.
With democracy came capitalism.
Mm. Yeah, there were some of the negative aspects of the freedom, like pornography, and the first businesses were brothels and things like peep shows, and that was pretty shocking at that time.
Right. Leads me to think about, I mean, that's another area that you've spent a lot of your professional career looking at is gender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And before coming here today, I was thinking about in the 10 years since we last met, so much has exploded with gender and gender studies in the United States. And I so admire young people who are just not caught up in gender. You know, they have their non-binary, they don't identify as he or she, and there's this freedom and acceptance in the States. And I'm wondering if that's the same here in Czech Republic, or at least in Prague.
For LGBT?
Yeah.
Yes, very much. It is, the situation's very good. We have Prague Pride. The LGBT community is very active. They have the Queer Film Festival, which is international, and it's fabulous. And there's lots of stuff happening and facing a huge kind of conundrum, because there will be Prague Writers Festival starting from 16th to 20th October, and one of the invited is Germaine Greer, this very famous feminist of the second wave of feminist movement. And because I translated her classic The Female Eunuch, which she wrote in 1970, so I was invited to be there at the discussion and so on. But the LGBT community wrote protest letters against her coming and speaking here, because she has expressed very transphobic views. She believes that the male-to-female transgenders are not women, that they're still men, even, as she says, if they have their penis chopped off, and that she will never change her view, and so on. So there's this, the LGBT community here is very upset about that. And well, the festival is still inviting Germaine Greer, so probably she's going to come. She's 80 now, so that'll be probably a huge battle.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? I mean, do you have an opinion on that? Or?
Well, she says that she would have the courtesy speaking to like a male to female transgender that she would use the pronouns that person
they prefer.
Wanted. They prefer, but otherwise she's not going to consider them women. And I don't know, like I have a couple of close friends, I have students, and I know like the struggle they've been through and how much their identity is based on this and so on. So I feel that should be respected. So
yeah.
So I don't share many other crazy German Greer ideas like on rape, that it's not basically not that bad and that the sentences should be lighter and I don't know that female genital mutilation is just like a cultural custom. I think it's appalling,
yeah,
and should be stopped and prosecuted, and also she doesn't believe in gender equality because it leads just to women going to the army. I mean, gender equality is fantastic. Like, we've had so much progress with the EU. Like, even in the 10 years, like, we had the maternal leave changed into parental leave, and there's like a law against domestic violence and many other small steps forward.
Right.
So I totally believe that if a woman wants to be a warrior and wants to be in the army, like, it's her free choice, and she should be able to do so.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's so bad about it.
Yeah. I know one of the things that I heard a lot when I was living over here in 2006 and 2007, and as I'm reading more and kind of re-entering into current books and things about the time of socialism, is there is this idea that women were equal with men. And that was one of the things with socialism, that women could enter the workforce and they had equal pay. And I hear that a lot from men and a lot of women that are saying, but wait a minute, they still had to take care of the home, they still had to cook. This idea of an equality under socialism is sort of a myth. And I'm wondering,
it was paradoxical, because like women had like a quota in the parliament, 33%, but the women didn't want to be in the public sphere. They didn't want to join the Communist Party. They found excuses that they have children and they cannot go to the meetings and so on. The work, of course, was obligatory, so that's completely different from choosing to work. So
yeah.
It was the paradoxes, and then you had the education, which like 50% of university graduates were women, and we had all these lawyers and doctors and architects who were women, even in the 50s, which was not in the West. That's like a really better, but then these women were so underpaid, and it was like we were all in horrible situation of shortages and poverty, and just to realize that you're not allowed to leave the country, that it's like a crime for which you go to jail. That's insane. It's against all human rights.
Yeah. I mean, the freedom of movement is probably, I would say, one of the greatest changes when the wall came down, which opens up so much in terms of thinking and even in one's way of being in the world and relating to one's place. So where are you, do you think things are now? I mean, in these last 10 years, in this 20 years from 30 years, and is there more progress? You know, how are things
Definitely.
Changing?
Definitely. We're getting richer and more affluent. I don't think that was possible 10 years ago, but now, like, any Czech can, I don't know, fly to the Canary Islands, rent a car, drive around, you know, like it's...
have a holiday, huh?
The standards of living are getting closer and closer. That's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
This special series of the MAP Radio Hour is produced with support from Trust for Mutual Understanding, Wozniak Center for Contemporary Art in Gdansk, the Fulbright Slovak Commission 25th Anniversary Fund, and Leonardo, the International Society for the Arts, Sciences, and Technology. The MAP Radio Hour is produced by Matthew Horton, and the theme song is by Otto Huditz. I'm Janelle Engelstad. Thanks for listening, and visit the Make Art with Purpose website to connect with us on social media.